Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Today, as the world becomes an end times freak show, the Mark of the Beast system is now online and operational, and I'm going to explain what that means. It doesn't matter where you look. Look anywhere. Look everywhere. And what do you see? You see what used to be our global way of life crumbling, and in its place, a new system is coming online. The New World Order? Yes, absolutely. But it's more than that. What we're watching is the installation of the Mark of the Beast system to control all humanity by a single entity. Daniel 12:10 says this, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are gathering together the myriad elements that have taken place in just the past 7 days and showing you how crazy things have become and pointing you towards what's coming next on the end times horizon. Things are so bad that most people have already mentally readjusted and they are now living inside their head in the new normal. The new normal is an always-on, around-the-clock, real-time assault on our senses, beating us into submission to the coming Mark of the Beast system. The fear merchants are locking us down digitally and mentally, and unless you have the Holy Spirit to discern for you the truth, you have little chance of perceiving it. Today on the podcast, we show you the Mark of the Beast system in place and operational, just waiting for the son of perdition to arrive and claim his kingdom. Yes, we are absolutely that close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered live and for all those that will listen to this program in the archives. And we pray, Lord, that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And for those of us that are saved, that a holy fire will be lit, Lord, that will never go out until the rapture. A holy fire that every man, woman, and child that listens to these broadcasts, who are born again, who name you as Savior, will catch a holy fire to get something done for you in these last days. We pray, Lord, for Sarah in Pennsylvania to be saved. We pray for Lori D., Jacqueline, and Chelsea. The Lord knows the needs. We pray for Johnny Gonzalez. He wants to be a good testimony and a great soul winner. Hal needs a lung transplant, and they want to make him take the vaccine before they do the operation. We ask that you rule and overrule, God. We pray for Pastor John Ree and his ministry in the Philippines. We pray for Jeff and Ann Reed, husband and wife who have been hospitalized for about 10 days now with COVID. Anne is doing a little worse than Jeff is doing, but they both need a touch from you, Lord. Help them, heal them as only you can. I pray for your protection, God, around Now the End Begins in this ministry. I pray it over Lori Ann and her family, Jeanette and her family, Harmon and her family, me and my family, and for the whole ministry of Now the End Begins, that you would set a hedge of protection about us, God. Keep us safe as we work to minister, to warn a lost and dying world of coming judgment, of current judgment, and to warn them about the flames of hell. We pray for Jessica Welch, 20 years old and sitting in a jail in Palm Beach County. Just turned 20. She needs to get saved. She needs to hear from you. her mom, Maria, asked for special prayer. There's a special type of heartbreak that happens when it's your child. And we pray for Jessica Welch today. Marie Castro, she's asking for prayers in her marriage. And they just became new parents. It's hard to do everything that a new baby requires. But we pray, Lord, that you would touch Marie Castro and her family. Shayla Clark's husband for salvation. Dakota, who's being deployed to Afghanistan. Set your hedge of protection about him and his whole company. Keep him safe, Lord. Clayton Perry, who's struggling and battling cancer. We pray that you give him a touch, give him a healing. Shar says prayers for son-in-law's salvation and husband who is battling alcoholism. Gia Camino says, I have a praise report. My hospital tests were all good and no COVID test. Surgery tomorrow at 11 a.m. Please keep me in your prayers. Lord, for all of these prayers and praises and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you to work and move in a mighty way. Give healing where healing is needed. Give courage and comfort where that's needed. Give emotional support, financial support. Rule and overrule in all these requests, Lord, as only you can. And we thank you, God, for how you work and move in our midst, how you bless and expand this ministry. And Lord, we say a special prayer today for the families of the 12 Marines and the one Navy corpsman that were killed in the blast on Thursday. Our government may have forgotten about them. Joe Biden was seen at the ceremony of the caskets being taken off of the airplane, and he looked like the guilt, even with a mask on his face, he looked guilty. And the video caught him checking his watch like he couldn't wait to get out of there. That's how guilty people look, and that's how guilty people act. We pray for Joe Biden's salvation, Lord. Romans 13 says to pray for those in positions of authority. And even a corrupt government like the American government, we pray for our leaders that you would save them, God. Save them from the fires of hell that is rapidly coming towards them. But Lord, we say a special prayer and we take out a moment to pause and remember the 12 Marines and the Navy corpsmen and everybody else in Afghanistan, in the United States military, all the men and the women of all the different branches. Give them comfort, Lord. And for those soldiers that are saved, that are Christian, if you serve in the United States military and you're in Afghanistan and you want Bibles to hand out to your fellow soldiers, would you send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com? And we will supply you with Bibles and gospel tracts. If you serve in the United States military and you're over in Afghanistan or you're getting ready to go, send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we're going to send you Bibles and gospel tracts so that you can witness among your fellow soldiers that the word of God would go forth in spirit and in truth and in power. And we pray for all the Christians stranded in Afghanistan. We pray for the Catholics in Afghanistan that the Christians would witness to them and that they would get saved. And in the midst of all this turmoil, God, you are still on the throne. You are working and moving in a mighty way. And we reach out to you and we ask you, Lord, to work and move. We pray for the people in Baton Rouge, in Louisiana, in that whole area, the Mississippi River. We have NTEB representatives on the ground. Kyle told me this morning that their home was spared, but it's chaos. And we're going to see about seeing how we can minister to the victims of the flood, should that help be needed. And we pray for the people who are going through this hurricane. It's a rough thing. I went through two hurricanes in the last 4 years. And we pray for the victims. And we pray, Lord, that even now you would send in Christian workers to get something done for your glory and for our good. And Father God, we commit this time to you, and we remember the fallen soldiers, the 12 Marines and the one Navy corpsman who gave their lives working to make Americans safe and to get them home safely. Their sacrifice will never be forgotten. And God, we thank you and praise you and commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hoorah, Marine! Hoorah! Hoorah, Marine, hoorah. All right, let's get down to today's program. Speaking of the days of Elijah, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The days of Elijah, one of the two witnesses that the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 11. Moses and Elijah. The world is getting ready to see the days of Elijah. The world is getting ready to see the actual prophet Elijah and the prophet Moses returning as the two witnesses. These are the days that we find ourselves in. And on every single front and everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, there is nothing but chaos. America, the mightiest nation that has ever existed. The entire world financial system is based on the U.S. dollar. That's pretty good. Whether you go to Japan or China or Russia or Europe, Asia, Africa, South America, North America, the American dollar reigns supreme. American military might, up until Thursday, up until this hideous withdrawal in Afghanistan, America used to be the most feared nation on the face of the earth. But not now. Now our enemies are looking at us like easy pickings. How could that be? How could America be falling so incredibly fast? Well, the only way that you fall that fast is you've got to be corrupt from the inside. Abraham Lincoln once said, and I'll paraphrase, but Abraham Lincoln once said that America, even back in the 1860s, that the resolve and the resiliency of the American people was such that Abraham Lincoln could never imagine that the United States would be taken over by any other foreign power. He said if the day ever came when America fell, it would be from an attack by its elected leaders from the inside. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Abraham Lincoln said. He said that American might and the reason, you have to remember, America in 1776 fought our war of independence. And that war lasted from 1776 to about 1781. Well, actually, I think it went from 1771 or 2 to whenever it was. It was that time period. And the ragtag American army beat the strongest military on the face of the earth, which was the mighty British Empire. They used to say about the British Empire that they owned so many different things that no matter where you went in the world, the sun was always shining on something that was owned by the English Empire. They had colonies, they had countries, they had nations. The world had never seen a global power like the English military. And yet, the United States in the 1700s fought for our freedom and independence. And God gave us the victory, and we were able to beat the strongest military on the face of the earth. And then the sun set on the British Empire. And then you flash forward to the 1920s and the way that they treated England, Israel, the Jewish people, with the Balfour Declaration, and they promised to give them their land back. And then they withdrew that promise, and God withdrew his hand from England, and then the sun set on the English Empire. England is not a country today that is feared around the world. The British pound sterling is not the global basis of our monetary system. America is the world's only superpower. And Abraham Lincoln said, even back in the 1860s, that the American resolve would never allow for a takeover of a foreign entity. It would have to be done from the inside out. Well, you flash forward to August 30th of 2021. And what do you see? Take a listen to this. Marine veteran Representative Gallagher says that Walkaway Joe surrendered to the Taliban. Take a listen.
We have been unsuccessful in persuading the Biden administration to abandon the arbitrary August 31st date until every American is out of the country. And that's what really concerns me coming out of these briefings. The White House keeps pushing this talking point that they think we have leverage over the Taliban post August 31st. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, went on TV this morning and said it again. I don't know what fantasy world model UN conference these people are living in because of our surrender, because of the ineptitude of our withdrawal, because of our decision to abandon Bagram in the middle of the night without consulting our allies and consolidate on Kabul. We surrendered any leverage we have. We surrendered to a jihadist terrorist organization, that we are entirely dependent upon now for security around the airport. And to trust them, to put all of our hopes on the largesse of the Taliban, is a terrible plan. And I don't think the president and his advisors have any conception of what is in the Taliban's interest. It's in the these people don't want an invite to Davos. It's in their interest to make our surrender as painful and humiliating as possible, and then to take American hostages, sell those hostages to Al-Qaeda or to Iran, and then use that to bring us to our knees repeatedly in the future. No amount of sternly worded statements from the international community can create leverage. What creates leverage is power on the ground, and they have it because we surrendered it to them.
So there you have former Marine veteran Representative Gallagher from the United States Congress, and he's telling you that the world's mightiest military surrendered. Now, I'm not talking about the soldiers. I'm not talking about the men and the women who are in the infantry. I'm not talking about the men and the women that get in the planes and do the fighting. I'm not talking about the boots on the ground. I'm talking about the Pentagon, the White House, the generals. You just heard Congressman Gallagher tell you that the world's strongest military has surrendered to the Taliban. Didn't we used to make fun of those people? We used to call them, we used to make disparaging remarks about the towels on their heads, and they lived in caves, and, you know, whatever type of disparaging remark that you could possibly imagine being said about the Taliban. And yet, somehow, that little group of cave dwellers has found a way to take over the entire nation of Afghanistan, get their hands on billions of dollars worth of American weaponry, equipment, tanks, planes, Black Hawk copters, air bases like the Bagram Air Base. And somehow, this tiny little group of Islamic terrorists, a mere 75,000 compared to the 1.3 million who are actively serving in the United States military. And somehow 75,000 Taliban soldiers have found a way to beat the United States. And not just beat the United States, but to humiliate the United States. Now, I love this country. I am as patriotic as a person that you will ever meet. I'm the son of a World War II veteran. I'm the brother of a United States Marine. I was raised in a military-style household. I love America. I love the promise of America. When my mom's father came here as an immigrant in 1922, and he got off the boat at Ellis Island with $10 in his pocket, the American dream was here for my grandfather. I am the grandson of an immigrant. And I love the United States of America. And I hate what is happening to it. Yes, I have been telling you for the last 12 years that the takeover of America was coming. I warned about that in the first graphic that I ever made for Now the End Begins. And if you look at that graphic, in the bottom left-hand corner, it talks about the coming betrayal of America. And I've been warning people since 2009 that a takeover of America was coming. Well, you and I who are alive today, we have lived long enough to see that take place. And I told you that was coming 12 years ago. And now it's here. So how is it possible that the Taliban, and you might be asking, what does all this have to do with the Mark of the Beast world system? Well, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, we have to set the table. That's one of the things that we always talk about on our Bible study programs. We have to set the table so that we understand what has transpired, so we can see where we are, and that is a great indicator of what's coming. Joe Biden, yesterday, he went to the offices of the Federal Emergency Management Administration, otherwise known as FEMA, the same people we talk about the FEMA camps, and they're coming. But Walkaway Joe went to the FEMA offices yesterday, and he was trying to give a little bit of a pep talk, talking to the FEMA workers, trying to encourage them with dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. I want you to take a listen to the exchange recorded yesterday between Walkaway Joe Biden and a reporter who asked him a very simple question. Take a listen to this.
My grandfather would say, the grace of God and the goodwill of the neighbors. And by the way, look out for your neighbors. If you're in the region, look out for your neighbors. So thank you very much, and thank you, Commissioner. I really think it all works. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan?
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
Can you
okay.
So what did you just listen to? You listened to Joe Biden wheezing and breathing hard and struggling to speak. And a reporter simply said, what about Afghanistan? Where 13 U.S. soldiers were murdered and 170 plus civilians died on Thursday. That reporter says to Walk Away Joe, what about Afghanistan? And immediately Biden's hand hits the podium and he said, I'm not going to talk about Afghanistan. Joe Biden has been instructed to say nothing. So we can clearly see when we look at all these different events, we can clearly see that what's happening to America right now is orchestrated, it is calculated, it is intentional. And the reason why all these things are happening is because you cannot have the New World Order if America, with any semblance of its power, still exists. You have to have America on lockdown. You have to tear down and break the will of the American people. Abraham Lincoln said that the resolve of the American people was such that they could never be defeated by a foreign entity. Abraham Lincoln said that if America was going to fall, they would have to implode from the inside. And so everything that we see that's related to vaccination passports and taking the vaccine and the key to NYC and everything that Emmanuel Macron over in France is working on, that the entire world is following his lead. What's happening right now is the resilience of the American people is being destroyed. We are being beaten into submission. Now, I am not one of those people that believe that the virus is a hoax. The virus is not a hoax. Do your very best not to catch it. Make sure that you're taking vitamins and minerals and getting sleep. Make sure that you're staying away from large groups of people. Make sure that you're taking high levels of vitamin D3 and magnesium and zinc and B complex and vitamin C. Make sure, if you can, that you're taking omega-3 fish oils. But whatever you do, you need to understand that everything that's being done on every level in America and around the world is being designed to break the will of everybody who lives on this planet, to get them into a perpetual state of fear so that they never again question their government, whatever their government happens to be. Now, we told you on Saturday, who was the very first person in terms of world leaders? Take a wild guess. Who was the very first person in terms of world leaders to get on an airplane and fly to the Middle East and begin to take control of the entire chaotic situation on the ground in Afghanistan? Was it Boris Johnson from the UK? No. Was it Angela Merkel from Germany, the most powerful nation in the European Union? No. Was it walkaway Joe Biden from America? No, no, no. So who could it have been who was the very first world leader to get on an airplane, fly to the Middle East, and begin to take control of the situation that's happening on the ground? Now, if you guessed Emmanuel Macron, you are correct. A lot of people get mad when we say that, in our opinion, I don't teach this as Bible, but in our opinion, Emmanuel Macron is the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, man of sin. Now, I hope that I'm still allowed to have an opinion, but when Lori D. and myself wrote this article back in May of 2020, I believe that Lori and myself made a very compelling case that Emmanuel Macron could just possibly be the biblical man of sin. And the funny thing is, every time I turn around, Emmanuel Macron is doing something that proves what we said might be true. Just like I told you a few minutes ago, why was the first world leader to get on an airplane and fly to the Middle East? Why couldn't it have been anybody else but Emmanuel Macron? But it wasn't. Emmanuel Macron stepped into the situation immediately. And not only did he step into the situation, he began to take control. You know what he's doing today? Emmanuel Macron is already working with the United Nations for the creation of a safe zone in the Afghan capital of Kabul. Macron said, "This is very important. This will provide a framework for the United Nations to act in an emergency," Macron said in comments published in the weekly Journal du Dimanche. And France and Emmanuel Macron is leading Britain, the United States, Russia, and China in putting this emergency draft in front of the United Nations Security Council. And Macron is doing that today. Take a listen if you don't believe me.
Expect France, the United States, and the UK to present an emergency resolution to the Security Council on Monday, calling for the creation of a safe zone in Kabul to protect those trying to leave Afghanistan. The French hope that the whole council will endorse this resolution as quickly as possible so that those Afghans who wish to leave can do so safely. Now, this resolution will call on any new Afghan government to back the safe zone. French President Emmanuel Macron announced this plan on Sunday, saying that a safe zone would allow the international community to, quote, maintain pressure on the Taliban, who've now seized power in Afghanistan. Yet some diplomats have suggested that the French president's comments may have been a little premature. Well, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is convening this meeting on Afghanistan with the five permanent UN Security Council members, France, Britain, the US, Russia and China. And this meeting comes as US troops who've been guarding the airport in Kabul scrambled to complete a massive evacuation operation before a Tuesday deadline that was set by US President Joe Biden. France ended its evacuation efforts on Friday, and the United Kingdom ended its efforts on Saturday. International powers have reportedly started negotiations with the Taliban to protect and repatriate Afghan nationals who are at risk beyond this Tuesday. The Taliban has said that anyone who wishes to leave the country can do so, but foreign powers have met the Taliban's pledges with some skepticism.
All right, so there you have Emmanuel Macron, who is leading the representatives from Britain, Germany, the United States, China, and Russia. And every time you turn around, Emmanuel Macron is in the lead. He is taking charge and he is taking control. Now, maybe it will turn out that Emmanuel Macron is not the biblical man of sin. I've said the whole time that this is our opinion. This is our assessment. We could certainly be wrong about that. But it's really, really kind of funny that every time you see an international situation, if you remember last year with that huge explosion that took place in Lebanon, within 24 hours, Emmanuel Macron was on a plane and touching down and shaking hands with the Lebanese people. That man puts himself into every situation every single time. And when he does, people step back and let him take control. Now, I'm sure that this is just an amazing coincidence. But Pope Francis has been Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, started in 325 AD by the government of Rome, not by Jesus Christ. But Pope Francis from the Roman Catholic Church, from the Vatican, Pope Francis has been a pope for the last 7 years. And he has met with just about every major world leader. And all those world leaders have gotten pretty much plus or minus 5%. All those world leaders have gotten basically the same type of treatment from the Pope. But there is one world leader that has gotten two times in a row the longest private meeting with Pope Francis. Now, would you like to take a guess which world leader so intrigues Pope Francis that not once but twice is given the longest private meeting that the Pope has ever granted to any world leader, including the leaders of America, including Barack Obama, including Donald Trump, including Angela Merkel in Germany? Can you take a guess which world leader qualified two times to have the longest private meeting with the Roman Catholic Pontifex Maximus? Well, if you guessed Emmanuel Macron, you would be correct. So all that we're saying is that this could just be an incredible, ongoing, never-ending stream of unbelievable political, spiritual, and prophetical coincidences. I guess stranger things have happened, but it's kind of funny. Every time you turn around, what do you see? You see Emmanuel Macron, and where is he? He's in the middle of everything. So, in America, you have a nation that currently has no leader. Joe Biden, whatever position he actually holds, he's not leading anybody. He's told what to say. Everything that he says, he reads off a teleprompter. He's told what reporters that he can call on. And he's said that multiple times. That's not me saying something negative about the president. Joe Biden himself is on record as saying multiple times that he has a list of people that he is told to call on. America is being pulled down, and we've done multiple podcasts, and we invite you to go back into the archive on our website or go to Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Our podcast is on all these stations. Every podcast that we do is also recorded right here at Now the End Begins in our archive. All you have to do is click on NTEB Radio. And every show that we do, the Sunday morning services, the Bible studies, the twice-a-week podcasts. Everything is archived on our website. And we invite you to go back and listen to the programs that we've recently done about America being pulled down to make room for the New World Order. In 11 days from today, on September 10th, we're going to do a very special two-hour podcast, and we're going to show you how the Twin Towers were brought down. I'm going to show you proof. September 10th, two-hour podcast. Mark your calendars. We're going to show you some things about what really happened on 9/11 that is going to blow your mind. And we're going to show you that 9/11 didn't happen on 9/11. 9/11 had been planned for the larger part of the entire 20th century. You don't think something that big and that massive, if you really think that 19 Muslim hijackers came to America and learned how to fly jumbo jets in a summer, well, you're not thinking clearly. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't 19 hijackers. There were. And there were 19 Muslim hijackers. And they were the perfect cover for the New World Order. I want you to take a listen to the father of the man who was president when the Twin Towers were brought down. I want you to listen to what the father of George W. Bush said 10 years to the very day before the Twin Towers were brought down. Take a listen.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Oh, yeah, baby. There you have George Herbert Walker Bush telling you, on September 11th, 1991, that the day is coming when the New World Order is going to be installed and America will be placed under the authority of the United Nations Security Council. The very same Security Council that today is listening to a request from Emmanuel Macron and the other five permanent members to take control of the situation in Afghanistan after the United States laid down. Zephaniah 3:8 says this, talking about the United Nations. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, the United Nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, the United Nations General Assembly, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Zephaniah 3:8 tells you that the day is coming when the United Nations General Assembly would control the nations of the entire world by the direct permission of God, for the purpose of uniting the entire world to bring them into the Valley of Jehoshaphat for the Battle of Armageddon. You are watching that happen right now. You are watching the New World Order coming into place. You are watching George Bush on September 11th in 1991. He said, when we're successful, and we will be, we look forward to a new world order under the control of the United Nations. George H.W. Bush said that on September 11th, 1991. 10 years to the day later, his son was president while the Twin Towers were being pulled down. Last week, we made a lot of people mad. And we told you that George W. Bush, sitting there in that sixth grade classroom, and he's pretending to be reading a book. And what was the name of that book? Well, the name of that book was My Pet Goat. And the teacher was teaching them words. And there were five words that teacher was having the class recite as the World Trade Center was being pulled down.
Get ready to read all these words on this page.
Take a listen.
Without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
Kid.
Yes, kid. Sound it out. Get ready.
Kid.
Sound it out. Get ready.
Kid.
What word?
Kid.
Yes, kid. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steel.
What word?
Steel.
Yes, steel. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, play. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kit. Get ready.
Steel.
Yes, steel. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Boys and girls, pick your reader up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson 60 on page 153.
And there you have it. While the World Trade Center was being pulled down, the American president, the son of the man who told you on September 11th that there was absolutely going to be a new world order, his son sat in a classroom where the teacher was having the class recite the words, kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Now, if you think that's a coincidence, you are absolutely not thinking clearly. Kite, something that flies in the air. Hit, something that hits something. Steal, the outside facade of the World Trade Center was a steel facade. Plane, two planes smashed into the World Trade Center. Must, kite, hit, steal, plane, must. Now, with evidence like that, if you don't believe that those World Trade Towers were brought down intentionally, there is something wrong with how you think. You do not have Holy Spirit discernment. Now, I know it's a hard thing to wrap around your head that the United States government would do something like that. But the United States government did something like that. The United States government did something like that. I'm seeing a message in the chat room, a man named Dean. I'm not quite sure what's happening. somebody wants to get saved. I'm not really sure if you could post in the chat room, but we're going to pray for Dean's salvation right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Donna's friend Dean is, I think he's listening to this podcast. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just seeing messages in the chat room. But we pray, Lord, as a church family, we pray for Dean, whatever his questions are. We pray, Lord, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just wanted to take a moment and pray for Dean. We have a lot of people getting saved through these broadcasts, and we'd love to see that. Absolutely love to see that. So, Lord, we lift up Dean before you and Donna's witness to him. And we pray, Lord, that Dean would trust you as Savior right here and right now. And we ask these things, Lord, as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody has any updates on Dean, please let me know. And I will announce that on the air. But getting back to George W. Bush, kite, hit, steal, plane, must. 10 years to the day after his father told you that a new world order was coming. Do you think that's coincidental? It's not. That is a very, very, very careful plan. The Taliban's in control of the Kabul airport. Take a listen to this.
The Taliban has taken over. Their fighters drive US-made Humvees laden with US-made weapons around the last US military installation in Afghanistan. They look and act like former Afghan government soldiers. The white flag, the only indication this is the Taliban. It has been 20 years since the Taliban controlled Kabul airport. Fighters entered the capital 2 weeks ago and quickly encircled it. The armed group had an agreement with the US that it would remain outside and secure the perimeter until evacuations came to an end. Now, with only 2 days to go, the US footprint is shrinking.
When did you get hold of this area?
In 2 hours.
2 hours ago?
Yeah, go. Yes, we come here. 01 force of Afghanistan has come in the American soldier.
So they've evacuated?
Yes.
Clutching the US-made M4 rifles they've commandeered, Taliban fighters watch as American troops move inside the perimeter, destroy equipment, and bus in evacuees.
Behind that door is American soldiers.
That door is American, and where is Taliban.
And you are Taliban. And they are in this watchtower also.
That tower is also American soldiers.
This is all.
No, they're over there too.
Okay.
Fighters count the number of C-17 aircraft departing from the end of the runway. The Taliban secured the commercial side of the airport almost 2 weeks ago, but only pushed into military areas on Friday night. Their version of special forces, known as the Badri 313 and Victoria Strike Force, are in charge of security.
So there you have it. That's Al Jazeera telling you that the Badri 313, they're in charge of everything now. And they're using American military equipment to do it. Joe Biden made sure that America ran out fast and to leave all that stuff behind. And so what does that do? That creates the world's largest Islamic terror state, funded by the United States of America. Within the next 24 hours, America is going to be completely pulled out of Afghanistan. There is almost 1,000 Americans that are going to be left behind. So, there was a comment about 15 minutes ago in the chat room. I think it was Shar who made the comment that when she told her family about what we say about who did 9/11, and her family say that that's not true because there's no way that they could imagine our own government doing that on 9/11. Well, let me ask you this question. What are you watching our own government do right now? You're watching a senile old man who is constantly out of breath, who can't speak without a teleprompter. He is told what to do. He wanders off script. He wanders into the woods. And you're watching the United States being pulled down from the inside. So you don't have to go back 20 years and say, well, I can't believe that our own government would do 9/11. What is our own government doing right now? 13 soldiers are dead because of the way America is handling the withdrawal. Everybody agrees that we should be out, but the way that we got out is disgraceful. It is shameful. It has cost lives. It will cost more lives. So if you can't believe that the United States government would orchestrate 9/11, going all the way back to George H.W. Bush, just take a look at what our government's doing in 2021. Now, what about those 100,000 Afghan refugees that the Biden administration is constantly referring to? If you've been watching any of the press conferences with Jen Psaki, she'll tell you that about 5,000 Americans have been taken out and about 100,000 Afghans have been evacuated as well. Now, I think that getting those people to safety, people who have been helping the American government for the last 20 years, I think that's a good thing. And yes, definitely bring some of those people to the United States. We will absolutely take care of those people, provided that we can vet who they are. You know what Islamic terrorists love to do? Over in the Gaza Strip, when Hamas is firing rockets at Israel, oftentimes they'll launch the rockets from the rooftop of a children's hospital or a school because they know that Israel can't bomb them back directly. And one of the great tactics of Islamic terrorists is they love to hide in and among civilians. Now, how many of those tens of thousands of Afghan refugees that have already begun to land in the United States, what do we know about those tens of thousands of people that are now landing in the United States? Well, Tucker has that question. Let's see what he thinks about it.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. In the middle of the night, last month, Bagram Air Base, which is about 30 miles north of Kabul, plunged into darkness. Nothing like that had ever happened before. Bagram is more than an air base. It's an enormous piece of property. It's the size of a small town. It had a hospital, shops, gyms, two runways, rows of hangars and barracks. As of last month, Bagram also had a prison. It held thousands of foreign fighters, including men from ISIS and the Taliban. And then all of a sudden, for the first time in 20 years, the lights went out at Bagram. The locals understood immediately what was going on. Without warning or even a courtesy notification, the U.S. military just left, split in the middle of the night, and turned off the power as they did. Ultimately, the base's new Afghan commander fled too, and so within minutes, looters descended. They found thousands of vehicles at Bagram, hundreds of them armored, as well as a huge cache of weapons and ammunition. Now, the Pentagon didn't seem concerned. Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had explained already that, quote, Bagram is not necessary tactically for what we're going to do in Afghanistan. And
so the first thing that we need to know about the Afghanistan pullout is that it happened in the middle of the night, and our Afghan allies were not even notified that they were leaving, that we were leaving. They showed up for work the next day, and all the lights were off, and there was nobody there. So the first thing that we need to understand about the shameful behavior of the American government in Afghanistan is that they instructed their people to leave in the middle of the night under cover of darkness and not notify anybody else that we were leaving.
Quote, that turns out to be a massive miscalculation. That's now clear. The decision to abandon Bagram Airfield was in fact idiotic, and it led directly to the killing of 13 American servicemen yesterday. With Bagram abandoned, the evacuation of Afghanistan is being staged from a commercial airport in the capital. And given its location, Kabul's airport is almost impossible to defend. Yet, despite the fact it can't really be defended, it remains the only way for American citizens to get out of the country. As Bill Raggio, the editor of the Long War Journal, put it, abandoning Bagram Air Base, quote, is the perfect example that generals just saluting and saying yes, sir, and can do, and not standing up and saying this is madness and I can't execute this because I'm putting the lives of Americans at risk and you need to find someone else to do it.
Now, we told you the other day about that one Marine. Let's see if I can pull up his name here. There was a United States Marine who made a video that went viral. And he said that he was not going to stand by and watch all this happen. And he called out his, basically his bosses, called out his superiors. And he said that the ineptitude of U.S. military leadership over the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal is causing him to speak out and risk losing his 17-year career and future retirement pension in order to demand accountability from top military brass. And that's exactly what this man did. Now, what do you think happened to this man, if you had a guess? Do you think that his claims were taken seriously? Do you think that he was rewarded for speaking out about an obvious problem? No. Within 24 hours, the United States Marine, who made that viral video because he was so concerned about future casualties that could be 100% avoided. He was fired within 24 hours. They completely and totally kicked him out. That's what the Biden administration thinks of the average soldier, of the average infantryman or woman in the United States military. All this guy wanted to do, he wanted to make sure that future soldiers and future Marines would not suffer the same fate of the 13 people who were murdered on Thursday. Take a listen to what he said.
Good evening. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, United States Marine Corps. I'm the current battalion commander for Advanced Infantry Training Battalion. I've been in the Marine Infantry for 17 years. Started my tour with Victor 1-8. It's the current unit that's doing perimeter security, dealing with the mess that's going on there. You can see open source reporting that there was an explosion and some people were killed. I know through my inside channels that one of those people that were killed was someone that I have a personal relationship with. Won't go into more details because the families are still being notified. Not making this video because it's potentially an emotional time. Making it because I have a growing discontent and contempt for my perceived ineptitude at the foreign policy level. And I want to specifically ask some questions to some of my senior leaders. And I'll say, as a person that's not at 20 years, I feel like I have a lot to lose. If you play chess, you can only see 2 to 3 moves out because there's too many variables. I thought through if I post this video, what might happen to me, especially if the video picks up traction, if I have the courage to post it. But I think what you believe in can only be defined by what you're willing to risk. So if I'm willing to risk my current battalion commander seat, my retirement, my family stability to say some of the things that I want to say, I think it gives me some moral high ground to demand the same honesty, integrity, accountability from my senior leaders. And so I want to start with, we'll just use the Marine Corps. We'll just stick with the Marine Corps. So in the current fallout of Afghanistan, a lot of Marines were posting on social media, and in response to that, the Commandant published a letter.
So there you have a snippet of the video, and I recommend that when you have time, you go and listen to that video. But Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller spoke out the other day after watching 12 of his fellow Marines get slaughtered and a U.S. Navy corpsman die in a situation that was 1,000% preventable. And it sure sounded like he was speaking out respectfully. He was concerned for his fellow soldiers. And within 24 hours, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller was relieved of his duty and fired after serving honorably for a 17-year period. Now you know why Joe Biden was so angry when he was asked that question on Afghanistan. Remember the FEMA clip?
As my grandfather would say, the grace of God and the goodwill of the neighbors. And by the way, look out for your neighbors. If you're in the region, look out for your neighbors. So thank you very much, and thank you, Commissioner. I really think it all works. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan?
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now. Okay.
There it is. I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now. When is Joe Biden going to answer for Afghanistan? Well, if his handlers can help it, he's not ever going to answer for Afghanistan. And the people in his administration are making sure that people who speak out like Stu Scheller are silenced and not allowed to speak. So when you look at all these things that are taking place, you see the New World Order, and it's clear and it's obvious. Now what about the Mark of the Beast system? What about that? Now, we know from a doctrinal perspective that there can be no mark of the beast until the Antichrist shows up in the days after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. So we know that we are not going to see the mark of the beast. But what we are seeing is what I call the mark of the beast system. And this is something that was put in place back in 1994. We call it the internet, the World Wide Web. Why does a spider spin a web? To catch prey. And so for the last 27 years, the entire world has gotten used to the idea of a global society. It doesn't matter what the leaders of your country do. The internet makes us a global society. Social media began to get popular in 2005. In 2007, Apple invented the first good mobile device. And in the years since then, over the last 14 years, the entire world has had time to get used to the idea of a one world system. It's been nearly 30 years in the making. And here in 2021, the entire world runs on the internet. If the internet was to go down today, businesses all across the world would come to a standstill. Why? Because everybody has switched to digital. Everybody has taken what they do and now they do it online. Every major corporation in the world could not function without the internet. They need it for records and transactions and to move money and to do all this different stuff. So we have a one-world system that they've been building for the last 27 years. We have everybody on mobile devices. Everybody is now tied and tethered to the one-world system. And now, for the last 21 months, we've been watching a global pandemic. And in the dealing of that global pandemic, we have seen how all the governments of the world are using the pandemic to put everybody into lockdown. Now, last year, people were physically locked down. Well, you can only physically lock down an entire planet for a short period of time. The people just won't take it. But they locked everybody down as an opening salvo, and they made everybody afraid. And last year we told you in March of 2020 that it sure looked like the beginning of sorrows from Matthew chapter 24 was underway. And now here we are, March, April, May, June, July, August. Here we are almost 18 months later. And what do we see? We see that everything that was started in 2020 is leading you to a worldwide system from which there is no escape. And all the leaders of the world have decided that you cannot function in human society unless you agree to receive the vaccine. Everything hinges on the vaccine. Now, this vaccine over the last 3 months, it's caused quite some controversy. They promised you that if you took the vaccine, you wouldn't get COVID. That wasn't true. They promised you that if you took the vaccine, you wouldn't have something so bad that would send you to the hospital. Well, that wasn't true. And then they promised you that if you took the vaccine, you wouldn't die from COVID. And that was not true. Here's a headline for you. COVID vaccine injury reports jump by 27,000 in 1 week. FDA pulls bait and switch with Pfizer vaccine approval. Data released today by the Centers for Disease Control showed that between December 14th of 2020 and August 20th, of 2021, a total of 623,343 total adverse events were reported to the CDC's own vaccination adverse event reporting system. These reports included 13,627 deaths, an increase of 559 people over the previous week. Now, isn't that interesting? The CDC says that the VAERS website is not reliable and you can't trust it. And yet, the VAERS website is an official creation of the Centers for Disease Control. And they are telling you that you cannot trust their own website. And now, why would they be saying that? Because their own website is giving you data and information that runs contrary to their narrative. Now, here's something interesting. And I'm going to put this out there for the 2 cents that it's worth. I haven't had much time to research this, but it looks pretty interesting. If you take the word COVID and read it backwards, it becomes the word DIVOC, D-I-V-O-C. Well, the etymology of that word, which means where does that word come from, it comes from a Hebrew word, dibuk. So the word divok, the etymology of that word is from the Hebrew word dibuk, which is a word which means evil, the act of sticking. The dibuk is the soul of an evil person whose soul wants to evade punishment and tries to stay in this dimension by possessing another body. Now, you can take that for the 2 cents that it's worth. But to me, just my opinion, I'm not teaching it to you as Bible. That sure makes a lot of sense to me. I've shared with you before how the medical advice of Anthony Fauci was responsible for killing a couple of 100,000 homosexuals back in the 1980s and 90s, because the medical advice of Anthony Fauci was, and he said this to doctors in America and around the world, that if you were diagnosed with HIV/AIDS, the only way that you could possibly have a chance at beating it was to immediately take high doses of a drug called AZT. And in the time period between the mid-1980s and the mid-1990s, AZT was responsible for killing over 250,000 homosexual, mostly homosexual people who were diagnosed with HIV/AIDS, and their doctor listened to the advice of Anthony Fauci and put their patients on AZT, like my brother did, and in a very short period of time, they were killed because AZT is a deadly poison in high doses. This same man, Anthony Fauci, is now telling you in 2021 that you cannot be safe without the COVID vaccine. Even though almost 14,000 people are reported to having died from it in the last year. No, it's not even been a year. What did I say? It's like 8 months. And over 600,000 people have had life-changing adverse reactions requiring them to be hospitalized. The world has gone crazy. Emmanuel Macron over in France, he's the one that started the whole ball rolling from a global perspective on July 12th, and we told you about it. Emmanuel Macron said that France was going to become the first nation in the world to demand a vaccination passport system. And yes, a couple of 100,000 people protested that, and they're still protesting that. But 5 million people ran out and they got the vaccine. His threat was very, very successful. And now you see in all the nations of the world, even right here in America, in New York City, if you want to do anything publicly in New York City, Marxist atheist Mayor Bill de Blasio, he says that you need something that's called the key to NYC. And what is that? That's the vaccination passport. Is the vaccination passport the mark of the beast? No. But the vaccination passport is part of the mark of the beast system. No question about it. That's not even up for debate. And that's not my opinion. That's a fact. Did you know that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security says that they're raising the terror threat level on 9/11 this year for three main reasons? Because of people who are opposed to mandatory COVID measures like the vaccine passport that is now labeled as a terror threat. If you are opposed to mandatory vaccination passports, Homeland Security says you're a terror threat. Homeland Security says people who believe that there was election fraud, that's a terror threat. And the 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays, if you believe your Bible, that's a terror threat. Take a listen to this clip. I'm only going to play a minute of it. And you'll see how they view Christians. Take a listen to this.
Welcome back. It is not news that we are experiencing a pandemic of the unvaccinated and that our political divide plays a pretty big role in who is being infected. But now we have a stark illustration of this issue. This is a list that we put together of 30 counties with the highest infection rates in the country, starting with the highest. As of yesterday afternoon, every county with one exception voted for President Trump. And most of these counties voted for him by 40 points or more.
So there you have Chuck Todd from MSNBC telling you that they have made a list of the 32 counties across America that are deemed to be the biggest problem in the pandemic, and they're all Trump voters, and they're all Trump supporters. Now, we're just about out of time for today, but I think I've very successfully made the case and showing you in their own words that the New World Order and the Mark of the Beast system is absolutely here. It's only going to get worse. The vaccination passports are never going to go away. It is going to be part of our daily lives. And you need to be praying about that right now, that God gives you wisdom to know what to do when they come for you. There's a reason why Bill Gates is America's largest farmland owner. There's a reason why Bill Gates and George Soros just started a global health consortium and they're going to be selling COVID testing kits. There's a reason why Microsoft created something called the Daily Pass for the Los Angeles Unified School District, 500,000 students. And those students aren't allowed to even walk onto their school property unless they show a vaccination passport. That's not conspiracy, people. That's happening right here, right now. These things are already underway. Vaccination passports are part of the Mark of the Beast system. There's just no way around it. I hope this program was a blessing to you today. I hope you'll share it with your friends. And I pray that Dean gets saved. If anybody knows what happened there, please let me know. And I hope and pray for every single person listening that you understand the times that you find yourself in and what's really actually going on. There's a reason why God gave me the name of Now the End Begins for this ministry, because this is exactly where we find ourselves. The war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. To the fight, people. To the fight. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody, and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history and mystery in one. Then I opened up the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
And the Word was with God. And the Word
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Around him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. That's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, made out tales, just to help the weak to survive. Well, let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. With a smile, what more could there be? He's dead.
You said they hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said I'll read it again, but this time there's more. I believe this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this for you. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Beginning.